Romans chapter 11. We begin in verse number 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happening to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Back over in verse number 8, it says, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And the first thing I want to look at is the slumber. He's given them the spirit of slumber. He's not cast away Israel. He's not done with Israel. He hasn't replaced Israel. He has turned from Israel for a time, not dealing with them as a nation, giving them the spirit of slumber. And when you're in, have the spirit of slumber, you can't see things correctly spiritually. You don't hear things correctly spiritually. So they don't see Jesus Christ as their Savior at this point. They're not hearing the truth of the words of the prophets. They're not hearing and understanding Isaiah 53. They're not hearing and understanding the things of the New Testament. They don't hear and understand the book of Hebrews as God has given it for the purpose of growing us as believers, but pointing to the Jews in the tribulation time and talking to them about a more excellent sacrifice. They're not seeing those things. They've been given the spirit of slumber. And in verse number 9 it says, And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Now we see the stumbling block. It's Jesus Christ. They stumble at the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's still today, yet in this church age today, in this late hour of the church age, Israel still today trying to get to the Father through their religious acts, through their own righteousness. When God's turned from them, He's done with that. There's the blood of bulls and goats, not what God's interested in today. He's interested in the blood of His Son, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His own blood, which was shed on Calvary. But that stumbling block, they stumble over Jesus Christ. I've talked to them. I've talked to the Orthodox Jews about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, say, well, I'm a Jew, so was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they laugh and say, yeah, we know. But they don't know Him as Savior. They don't know Him. They had rejected their Messiah, the stumbling block. They tripped over righteousness because they couldn't take their eyes off of their own righteousness. And that's what they're doing today. They're still going about to establish their own righteousness. And that's what most religions doing, is trying to get men to try to establish their own righteousness. So when you get to the Lord, you can say, here's my righteousness. Will this do? Well, unfortunately, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. There's none righteous, no, not one. The only righteousness that God the Father will accept is the righteousness of Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Their slumber, their stumbling block. But through their stumble, through their blindness, we come to verse 11. I see then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. We see that salvation. We have salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of the unbelief of the Jews. If the Jews would have accepted their Messiah, we'd have been in trouble. If they wouldn't have rejected Jesus Christ at the first coming, this would be a totally different situation we're in right now. But this age of grace has come upon the Gentiles because of the slumber, because of that stumbling block, because the Jews rejected their Messiah, and the Jews were turning from the Messiah, and the Gentiles were turning to Christ. But I want to look carefully at a few things today before we get done here. And the first thing I want to look at in verse 11 again is the reason for the church age. The reason for the church age. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. The church age is not all about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him getting that kingship that He deserves, Him getting the honor and glory He deserves, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. I said it before, I'll say it again. If God was through with the Jews, He wouldn't be worrying about provoking them to jealousy. When somebody provokes somebody to jealousy, it's trying to get that person to turn to them and come to them. So He's trying to get the Jews. He will get the Jews, but right now the reason He's turned to the church is because He's getting glory and honor for the church, and the Jews are jealous through their pride. They're jealous of the church. They're jealous of the bride of Christ. They're jealous of other people giving God glory. Amen. He was their God. The Gentiles were godless heathens, roaming this earth, were not even a people, just dogs, nobody. And now God the Father's given. That's one reason they have so much trouble accepting the New Testament, because they can't believe their God would give attention to the Gentiles. When the truth is, the only reason God's given the attention He's given to the Gentiles is to provoke the Jews to jealousy, because the Jews rejected Him and wouldn't give Him the attention and the glory and the honor He deserved when He came the first time. So the reason for the church age is for God to get glory and for God to provoke the Jews to jealousy. In verse number 12 it says, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness." Look at the riches of the Gentiles. You know what the riches of the Gentiles? We get in through the blood of Jesus Christ. We get in because of the death, burial, and resurrection of a Jew. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, God the Father, Son, the Word of God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We get in because they rejected their Messiah. We get in and we get riches, salvation by grace through faith. We get rewards. We get an inheritance. We get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Because of verse number 12, what it's talking about, the diminishing of them, the riches of the Gentiles. So when he took his focus off of Israel, he turned to the people that were focusing on him, and now he's offering us unspeakable riches. Not because we are good, because he's good. And because him giving us those riches and promising us an inheritance and promising us those riches and promising us eternal life, and not only eternal life, but eternal security connected to that eternal life, he's provoking the Jews to jealousy. You would think of all people, the Jews would be able to see in Genesis 1:1-3, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, a three-part God. But they said, well, how could Jesus Christ be God? We have only one God, and that's God the Father. That's Jehovah. They're kind of Jehovah's Witnesses, kind of, aren't they? But they're Jehovah God. But the truth is, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, he's part of the three-part God. He is God. The riches of the Gentiles. Look what you get. You get justification, sanctification, glorification. I mean, we get all kinds of things at salvation because God quit his focus on the Jews as a nation at this point, and now he is focusing on whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The riches of the Gentiles. Look at verse 15. You say, well, yeah, God, he's replaced the Jews with the church. No, he hasn't. Look at verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The resurrection of God's chosen people. Look at the wording. What shall the receiving of them be? So they've been temporarily cast away, but there shall be a receiving of them. Not maybe, not possibly, but shall be. But life from the dead. We're over in Ezekiel chapter 37 where he's talking about breathing life in it. Hey, you know what? He raised them up and he stood them up as the exceeding great army and breathed life into them. You know what we have in Israel today as a nation? We have an exceeding great army. One of these days he's going to regenerate that place. He's going to breathe life into them and they're going to realize through some unfortunately terrible things. I say unfortunate, but God knows what he's doing. I say it just seems terrible that they had to go through that. They shouldn't have made the wrong decision and chose Christ. I hate to see anybody die and go to hell, but they should have chose Christ. Amen? The Jews going through that tribulation, after everything they've been through since the crucifixion, they should have chosen Christ, but they will. They will. Again, look at the wording. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, praise the Lord, anybody in the world can come to Christ and get saved and go to heaven. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? The resurrection of God's people. Look at verse 21. Let's read down through here a little ways. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Talking to the Gentiles. Not an individual, but the Gentiles. Telling the Gentiles, don't get proud and cocky. And don't get living in your own pride, living in your own righteousness, forgetting about the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. The reality of this dispensation. You know what the reality of this dispensation is? It's coming to an end. That's the reality of it. This dispensation is coming to the end. Now, how do we know that? Well, because we talked about it in Sunday school. We talked quite a bit about religion. There's a lot of religion going on. I think there's so many people out there that have been lied to by the devil and tricked by the devil that are going to split hell wide open. They think they're all right. They think they might be good enough. They think they've made a decision for Christ, and they've never been convicted of their sin. They've never cried out in repentance and asked Jesus Christ to forgive them and save them. They've never trusted the Lord fully, and they'll burn in hell forever. I think there's so much religion going on in the world that makes God's stomach turn and His nostrils want to plug His nose at this place. I think there's so much religion out there, it's pathetic. They've tried to explain away everything. We talked about this in Sunday school. I'm going to bring it up again. Everybody gets a trophy. We're all equal. We're all just trying to do whatever. Everybody's God's child. And all these lies the devil's put out there through the religious system and through these quote-unquote religious leaders. And to get out there and say, well, God just is, God is love, and God, you know, God's just going to take us all to heaven. We're all saved because Jesus Christ paid the debt for the whole world. He did pay the debt for the whole world. But that book says that if you reject Jesus Christ, you'll burn in hell forever. That book talks about Lazarus and the rich man, and that rich man that was looking for somebody to touch the tip of his tongue with water is still burning today. And we'll just explain it away. We'll just give them a little bit of religion. Kumbaya, we'll all feel good, and then we'll all feel good all the way to the grave. Amen. And then they die and go to hell. I think people know at that last second it's too late and they know the truth. I think they do. I think God reveals it to them. I really do. But the devil's revealing all kinds of lies right now. We're all God's children. Oh, we're all in God's image. You think this is God's image? Good night. God's image is not a fallen man. God's image is a perfect, upright, holy being. That's why Adam was created, and then he begot children in his own image. See, we talk about DEI hires. The whole world's a DEI hire at this point. People don't have any responsibility or accountability. There's no drive in most folks. Probably a third of the world has drive to do better and drive to succeed and drive to be better. And most of Christianity is given up. Say, well, once saved, always saved. I don't have to do anything for the Lord. Hey, if you're saved by the grace of God, if the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, you're going to want to do something to glorify Jesus Christ. If you've never had a desire to glorify Jesus Christ, I say you're lost and on your way to hell. Now, I'm not saying you can't get all messed up and live for the devil and all that stuff. I'm not saying you can't give over to the flesh and just be worthless for the Lord. I'm saying if you've never had a desire in your heart to be better for Jesus Christ, to brag on Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ, to see Jesus Christ, I say you're lost. Oh, judge not. That's another lie of the devil. We can judge some things. If you don't have a testimony of salvation, you're lost. If you've never called on Christ, said, Lord, forgive me and save me, you're lost. I'm not talking about, well, I believe Jesus was a good man. I believe He was a prophet. I believe that He was a God's Son, and I believe He rose from the dead. I'm not talking about just believing. The devil knows all that's true. I'm talking about coming to a repentance. Look, there's so much milk toast, watered down, alleged gospel going on out there that is pathetic. Wouldn't you just like to receive Jesus? How about this? How about for all of sin to come short of the glory of God? We are all sinners. And friend, you need to trust Christ because you're headed to hell. You deserve hell. You're going to burn in hell. And if you don't call on Christ, you're going to split hell wide open. You're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire where the fire is never quenched, the worm dieth not. You'll have no help. You'll have no hope. You'll have no excuse. It'll be because you rejected Jesus Christ. You. Instead of this corporate baloney that's going on, if we just do this and if we just do that. No, if you reject Jesus Christ, you will burn in hell. And if you trust Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. It's personal. Amen. The reality of this dispensation is we're coming to a point where nobody's preaching the truth anymore. If you preach the truth, you become some kind of an outcast, some kind of a legalist, some kind of a heretic, some kind of a right-wing extremist or some kind of a religious fanatic or religious extremist. And the truth is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is that this world is dying. This world is full of people that are going to burn in hell. And if somebody don't tell them about hell, if they keep trying to explain away hell, they're going to go to hell. So well, I just wish the world was a better place. If people get saved, instead of serving the devil, live for the devil, and live for Jesus Christ, the world could be a better place. I wish Eaton, Ohio was a better place. Well, people need to get saved. And then when they get saved, they need some preacher to put a boot right in their rear end about once a week, while the Lord's putting a boot in his rear end too, by the way, and tell them you need to not waste the opportunity that God has given you. You're here for a moment. The twinkling of an eye, you're going to be gone one day. Whether it's your last breath or the rapture, you're going to be out of here one day. Oh, but wouldn't it be easier just to think we're all right? And just go after the love of the money and serving the flesh and all these things. And then maybe one day, maybe at the end, I'll work in something for Jesus. Well, the problem is when you get to the end, you're going to be out of time. Amen. And another problem is you don't know when that end is. If God told you, see, he doesn't want to tell us everything. He doesn't want us to know everything. If God told you you have 17 years left, you would waste 16 and 3/4 of them and get worried at the last. But the truth is, you don't know if you have 17 minutes left. Amen. The reality of this dispensation is it's coming to a close. You got preachers out there preaching lies. You got people out there. There are preachers that hate my guts because I believe there's a hell and I believe the Bible. Praise the Lord, more the merrier. I know I'm not going to get to the judgment seat of Christ and him say, you took my word too seriously. I know you preach too hard on hell. I don't believe that for a second. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did anything else. Amen. Oh, it doesn't mean, and that's another thing that's going on with religion. They're trying to explain everything away. Well, it doesn't really mean hell. Because God's a loving God. God is a loving God. He's so loving that he gave his only begotten Son so you could have eternal life. And you, when you get to hell, if you're lost, you won't get to hell because you told a lie. You get to hell because you rejected the one that paid the debt for your lie. Amen. Well, you know, it's Buddha, Muhammad, or whatever. We're all going. We're just going. You know, we got a kumbaya. We got this Abrahamic father house. You got the Abraham Accords going on. All these people in the Middle East, you say, well, the Middle East don't matter. The Middle East is what matters. You think God took his eye totally off of that? Not for a second. He just quit dealing with them as a nation for a time. But you look at what's going on. The biggest kumbaya fest and the biggest wicked fest over there is going on in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and all that stuff that's going on around there with their perverted lifestyle and their pagan beliefs and their self-righteousness and all the religion going on over there. And now they're all going to hold hands and just hope that God loves them all to, you know, we'll just love each other to heaven. And Ishmael and Isaac will get along and Rome will lead this whole thing and it's just going to be great. They're bringing in a kingdom. The reality of this dispensation is it's coming to a close. You know what we need to do? The closer we get to the day of the end of this dispensation, closer to the day of the time of Jacob's troubles, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ more. Amen. I hope we leave today. I really do. I hope the Lord calls us out of here and you drop your sandwich downstairs and we leave it. Amen. Now Bill's going to take chicken with him, but leave me a piece too, would you? But what about the folks that are lost on their way to hell? Why did God leave us here? Because he's an unjust and inhumane and cruel God and just wants us to suffer in his dirt hole? No, he left us here because he loved the world and gave himself for the world. And he wants more people to glorify him. Say, well, I'm going to get me some suspenders and a straw hat and a horse and buggy and some LED lights and I'm going to get me an old hand hoe and when nobody's looking, I'm going to drive a tractor. But anyway, and get me some electricity run underground so nobody knows I'm really using it. I'm going to do all this, and I'm going to go to church every other week and become Amish, and I'm just going to get real religious and do all this stuff, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get real holy. You know, God doesn't want you to just sit around and be holy. He wants you to take the Bible seriously, get in line with the Word of God, and get other people to learn to live for Jesus Christ, not just to love Him and get saved by Him, but to live for Jesus Christ. If our light's going to shine to a lost and dying world, that light should be helping other people that are saved learn how to live for Jesus Christ. Your lifestyle is not going to induce people to get saved. It's not going to provoke people to get saved. The gospel is going to provoke people to get saved. the truth about the death, burial, and resurrection, the truth, the reason he had to die, the reason he was buried, the reason he went to hell, the reason he rose again, because men are wicked. That's what's going to get people saved, is the realization that they're lost. I've had people tell me over the years, well, I was doing pretty good when I got saved. I just thought, might as well get saved. I don't know if that's really saved. I mean, you might have had a fat bank account. You might have been doing all right. You might have had a garage full of cars. You might have had a garage full of cars. You might have had all this stuff. You might have had, this textbook, this, that, or the other. But if you were lost and on your way to hell and you didn't realize that, you didn't get saved. Well, everything was so messed up. I just wanted to have a better life. He don't want to give you just a better life. Necessarily might not even give you a better life. He wants to give you eternal life. I bet you, if God gave Joel Osteen a truth serum, you'd find out he's not that happy. Amen. He's not really satisfied. I'm not sure the guy's even saved. If he is, he's serving the devil more than he is the Lord because he won't preach the truth. But I am telling you this, I believe that he's miserable. And I believe that he keeps trying to patch that misery hole with money. So that's terrible. That's what everybody does. Don't want. That's what the world's all about. That's what the world's all about. Honestly. Now I know some folks in here, I know the rapture's coming, we're getting out of here. But I guarantee you, if God exposed it and gave the heart of every man that voted for Donald Trump, I guarantee you 75% of them voted for him because they wanted their checkbook fixed. They didn't want to lose more. They didn't want to go through a tough time. It wasn't about glory being glorified. Now, there are some folks that wanted him to get saved, to get right, get saved, get in office, whatever he needed to do, and lift up Jesus Christ. But most of those people out there saying, we love glory, they weren't doing it because the Lord was going to be magnified. They were doing it because they're afraid to be a communist nation. They don't want to lose any more ground. They've lost financially. They don't want Miracle Whip to be $7 a jar. And by the way, it's like $6 now, but they don't want that to happen. They don't want gas to go to $7 a gallon. They don't want to drive an electric car. They don't want to have to give their guns up. They don't want to do all that stuff. They cried out to Trump because they didn't want to do all that stuff. And the truth is, I hope and pray that Donald Trump, if he's not saved, gets saved and lifts up Jesus Christ. If this whole country goes to hell, the banking industry falls apart, everybody loses everything they've got. If Jesus Christ is magnified, he's been a success. Amen. The reality of this dispensation is it's coming to an end. Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. The return of God's focus on Israel. It's coming. It's coming. God can walk and chew gum, by the way. He's got his eye on them. He knows what's going on over there. He's going to make a decision one of these days to call his bride out, and he's going to make a decision to let that 70th week play out. And he's going to make a decision when he decides it's the time. And I believe it's going to be Passover. I hope next spring or earlier, but I believe Passover, he's going to call us out of here. But he's going to make that decision. And he's going to focus back on Israel as a nation. You know what happens then? It's not about the Gentiles anymore. Right now it's about Jew and Gentile getting in Christ. When the church leaves, it's going to be about the Jews. It's going to be about the Jews. It's going to be about Israel. We won't be here because it won't be about us. It's going to be about them. The return of God's focus on Israel. Look at 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. At the time of Jacob's troubles. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. The return of their deliverer. He's coming back. Now think about it. We know God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you think that God, being a long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, do you think he would come to the Jews once, promise to be their king on this earth, and then change my mind, tough? He's coming back. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about him coming back physically on this earth at the end of that time of Jacob's trouble. You know what he's going to do? Take away their sin. He's going to regenerate Israel. You know what Israel's going to be? Everything they think they are now, plus better. Amen. They're going to be clean. He's going to take that stony heart. He's going to give them a new heart. And that heart's going to be all about Jesus Christ. All about their Messiah. All about that kingdom that he promised. That David talked about. That Isaiah talked about. That Zechariah talked about. That Zephaniah, all on down the line, Malachi preached about. The return of the deliverer. Look at verse 33. Oh, the depth and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The riches of God's wisdom and knowledge. You see what people are really saying when they believe that God's through with Israel? They're really saying that the devil defeated the Lord. That's what they're saying. But see, they don't understand the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Because God is so much far, he's so much above the devil. He has so much more wisdom than man could ever fathom. See, people say, well, they're playing 3D chess. God's playing 7D chess. God won. God has already won. Israel's as good as they're with their king. It's going to happen. When God says it, it's going to happen. But he looked, he said, I chose these people. I'm going to give these people some eternal promises. And then all of a sudden, people act like, well, God's got to, he can't keep his word now, so he's going to have to do something else. No, he's going to keep his word. God is not a man that he should lie. He's going to keep that promise. They're going to get that land. They're going to get their king. He's going to sit on the throne of David. That king is going to be God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, their Messiah. And he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years after he defeats the devil's people and casts the devil and the beast and the false prophet into a lake of fire for 1,000 years. He's going to keep his word. And he's going to hand that over to David, and David's going to reign eternally on this earth, and the Lord, we're going to be with the Lord forever. Forget about religion and read your Bible. Amen. If you come here to get religious, you got the wrong idea here. I don't want you to be religious. I want you to be right with God. I want you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. A relationship with the Father through the blood of the Son. A walk. A fellowship through prayer and the Word of God. I don't want us to be big-headed. I don't want you to think, well, if I can walk with the Lord, nobody else is doing that. Everybody's supposed to be doing that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'm not asking you to be religious. I'm asking you to be reasonable. Amen. You are bought with a price. God looked into the future because he's outside of the time. He looked at the time of the rejection of the Messiah, at the time that he was going to turn to the church that was calling on him, the Gentiles, and he looked at the end of the time of the Gentiles, which is coming soon. He looked at the tribulation time, at the end of the tribulation time. He looked at the battle of Armageddon. He looked at 1,000-year reign. He said, that's what I'm doing. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. People underestimate God. The Calvinists do. The hyper-dispensationalists do. The replacement theologians do. The Arminianism folks do. They underestimate God. And I know we can't understand God with our little tiny little finite minds, but they're way underestimating the wisdom and knowledge of God to think that he's not going to turn back to Israel and turn Israel back to him. The riches, God's wisdom and knowledge. What are you going to do? God has given us unsearchable riches as the bride of Christ, as the body of Christ, as the church. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? Are you going to take advantage of it? Remember when he told Mary, talking to Mary and Martha, said she had chosen the needful thing? You know what her thing was? And I'm not knocking. Praise the Lord for the food downstairs. But her thing wasn't getting the food ready. Her thing was getting her heart ready. Because she was sitting at Jesus' feet. She had fellowship with the Savior. She had fellowship with God through the Word. She was sitting at the feet of the Word. You know what the world's done? I ain't going to put this on the floor, but they've done that. They put this on the floor, and they put the Word at their feet. And trampled it. And trampled the Word of God. And saved people trampled. And squander and waste what God's given them here on this earth, what He's given us. Unsearchable riches. Unsearchable riches. Father, we love You and thank You for the opportunities You give us. Thank You for the many, many blessings You give us. Lord, come get us soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, Lord. Help us point people to You before it's too late. Help us to remember hell is real. And Jesus is the answer. And it's not kumbaya, can't we just all get along? But won't you trust Christ before you die and go to hell? Help us to reach a lost and dying world. Put Your hand and power on us through the week. And Lord, help us to be more like You. Bless the food downstairs. Bless the folks that made it. I know other stuff come in. Bless the ladies that have made things. And Lord, help us have a good time of fellowship and bless the nursing home service coming up. Have Your hand and power on that. Help us to be a blessing to them, that those folks would leave uplifted and encouraged after hearing Your word and praising Your name in song. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.